We're in Jeremiah chapter 2. Again, if you could turn back there, the fellas have a slide up there. We are in week 13, and we're definitely in the home stretch. Just a couple of more lessons the Lord has, I think, for us in this Change of Heart series. We have, last week was the remnant with a purposed heart. Actually, the last Sunday morning and Sunday night, we've covered a lot of ground: reaching of a lost heart, restoration of a broken heart. We've looked at, from Scripture, revival of a cold heart, and you can read all the rest as good or as well or better than I can. In the weeks ahead, next week will be reflections of a thankful heart as we head into the Thanksgiving season, and then having that readiness from a sanctified heart. The Bible says, "And be ye ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And it starts off with, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart." So that's what's ahead of us just before the Christmas season. But today, I want us to look at remembrance by a once forgetful heart. Remembrance by a forgetful heart. And we're in Jeremiah chapter 2. Or again, just going back to where we were at, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying." Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. Never lose sight of the blessing. Never take for granted that the word of God speaking to you. The Bible talks about, that time of span in our in the history called the 400 silent years, where the Lord did not speak to man. We know that, of course, today, praise the Lord, we have the canon of Scripture is complete. We have the written Word of God. But, of course, before the Bible was written for us and compiled and together, the Lord spoke in various ways, spoke in visions and dreams, spoke through men of God. The Bible says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so the Lord has moved in different ways throughout the years to give His will to people and to give His word to His people. But today we have the Bible. And again, if you're thankful for the Bible, say amen. It says, "The word of the Lord." Just because something's on social media doesn't mean it's true, and you have to gut check or have to fact check a lot of those things. But I remember seeing a video just recently, maybe been one of you that put it out there. I don't remember, but it was just about believers in China, in the underground church in China, and it was showing them they just got a box from somewhere, a shipment from somewhere, and it was Bibles, and they tore into that box. They hadn't had a Bible, again, in the persecuted underground church, and they were so thankful for God's precious word. The Bible talks about in the book of Amos a time where the word of the Lord was precious in those days. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me." Everybody has those times. That video talked about the mountaintops where God's hand was there upon him, and also in those valleys and those storms of life. And everyone has those. One, as a pastor coming in on my 11th year, I remember one of the most helpless times I've ever been. I was at a complete loss of words. The Lord always gives you, whether you're meeting somebody in the hospital or whether it's just a marriage that's not what it ought to be, or on the head for divorce court, or whatever kind of tragedy may have fallen upon someone. It seems like the Lord always is always faithful to give you some words of encouragement and comfort to give to that individual, to give to that family, or whatever. But I remember I got called into kind of a friend of a friend kind of thing, and said, "Would you go by and visit this person?" He was about 20-30 minutes away from my hometown where I was pastoring. And I went down there and I met with the man, and I won't go into all the details. It was a very solemn, a lot of things and were said in private and not for repeating. But one thing he said, he was somebody that used to, according to him, used to walk with the Lord, read his Bible, serve God. But he had a series of things happen in his life, unfortunate things and grievous things and tragic things. And he distanced himself further and further and further and further from God. And He told me it finally kind of was a pinnacle one night. And he had all he could take. And he shook it, by his own words, he started a fire in a burn barrel. And he shook his fist at God and said things that should never be uttered or thought against the holy God. And he took his Bible and he burned his Bible. I'm done with it. You say, well, why did he call you to come down there, Pastor? I don't know how much time that was before that I came down there. It was a while. But he said, Pastor, he said, I've repented of that. He said, that was just a spur-of-the-moment deal. He said, I was just so broken. He said, I've repented of that time and time and time and time again. And he said, all this time, the Lord still doesn't speak to me anymore. I can't hear from the Lord. When I open up my Bible, there's nothing. He said, the words used to just jump off the page, and God was speaking to me, and God was answering prayers. And he said, Pastor, there's nothing. Help! What do you say to someone? What do you say? What I'm trying to encourage you in, Prophet Jeremiah says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. When God speaks to you, when you open up your Bibles, and I'm encouraged, we put our Bible devotionals and reading plans back there, and you all gobble those up, and those are usually gone, the first week after we put them out, and so maybe we need to order some more if there's, but I'm encourage you all that. I'm proud of you all for that. I commend you. Never, ever, ever take for granted when God speaks to you in his word as you sit down in your devotional time, as you sit around with your family, as you sit in Sunday school or church services or whatever the case may be. Thank the Lord that the Lord still speaks to your heart. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go. You know, we have a God that wants his people to go forward. The Lord spoke to Moses, and paraphrasing slightly, but not too much, he said, speak to the people that they go forward. And God wants us to go forward. Another passage talks about where the Lord rebukes his people. He says, ye have dwelt in this mount long enough. Turn ye and take your journey. He wants us to keep going forward. And that's what's being said here. Go! The Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah. Go! Cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord. You know, my Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Say it with me if you know it. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen? But are you like me when you come to these times in Scripture, and there's hundreds of them, where it says, thus saith the Lord? Doesn't it just kind of get your attention a little bit when it says, thus saith the Lord? And that's what's taking place here. Thus saith the Lord. In verse 2, it says, I remember thee. The Lord says, I remember thee. Turn just a couple of pages back in Isaiah 49. And also, since that's just so close, also turn to Matthew 7, if you would. Matthew 7. I'm thankful for those times in my life where it may seem like it's never the case. Okay, it's not. But sometimes, is anybody like me? Does it sometimes seem like you're just off the radar? Everyone's forgotten about you. Everyone's forsaken you. Again, it's not that case. That's just our own flesh and kind of giving in to discouragement, those kind of things. But we can have those times where it seems like nobody knows, nobody cares, nobody remembers. I'm thankful. The Lord says, I remember thee. I remember thee. How very powerful is that when it seems like no one else knows, no one else cares, everyone's forgotten, all others have forsaken. Remember, the Lord says, I remember thee. Say those three words with me. I remember thee. And not the kind of, a couple of the teens and I just got back yesterday from Tennessee in a Bible college down there, and I ran across a few faces of people I've just rubbed shoulders with in times past and met and at this conference or that conference or this church or that church or whatever the case may be. And you know when you see them and you kind of recognize their face, but you just can't put that name, you're like, hey, I remember you. I don't remember like your name, or I don't remember, but I remember you. When the Lord says, I remember thee, I mean, it's a deep kind of remembrance. He remembers, and the Bible talks about him knowing everything about us. All things are manifest, made known to him, unto him we have to do with. He says, I remember thee. Look at Isaiah 49, verse 13, just a few. The Lord can never forget his own. I woke up this morning. We have, it's been a long time since I could say this. I guess last Christmas. We have all four of our children in the house this morning and a guest with us, Miss Sam. But it's been a long time since all four kids have woken up together and got ready for church. And I'm like, I remember this. And these are special times. But look at Isaiah 49, verse 13, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, that is, that Zion's a reference usually to Jerusalem or in prophecy to New Jerusalem. But, you know, God's people said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. And that's usually the voice of the devil and us giving ear to the devil and our own flesh and discouragement. We start thinking that. But look at the Lord's response in verse 15 to God's people thinking the Lord had forsaken. Look at the response of the Lord to the Lord's people thinking they had been forgotten by the Lord. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Look over Matthew 7 for a moment, if you would, please. When it comes to his people, the Lord intensely remembers. The Lord intensely remembers. But can I also say on the other side of that, the negative side, no less truthful, but negative, is the Lord also very intentionally forgets those that are not his. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. I'll read 21 and 23. The odd, you read the even in verse 22. I'll read 21 and 23. You read verse 22. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he... or she that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he will say to me. And in thy name have cast out. This is a religious group that's saying that. This is not somebody that's on the highway to hell and just rebelling. This is not someone that's shaking his fist at God and all those kind of things. This is a religious group. In verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the prophet. We're in chapter 2, but if you look at chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, 5, I believe, he says, before I formed thee in the belly, in your mother's belly, I knew you. He says, I knew you, Jeremiah. And here he says to people, the religious crowd, religious people trying to do the things for the Lord, he says, I never knew you. And that may seem very odd because God is omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing. God is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at once. God is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. So how can an omnipotent, omnipresent, and particularly an omniscient, all-knowing God say, I never knew you? The Lord chooses intentionally to forget. How many, you say, if that seems odd to you that the Lord intentionally forgets some things, how many are glad that the Bible says when the Lord says, thy sins will I remember. Thy sins will I intentionally forget. Thy sins will I remember no more. Amen for that? He chooses intentionally as part of his sovereignty to willingly forget something. And when we come to a saving relationship in Jesus Christ by faith, and we call upon him to save us from our sins, he willingly chooses to intentionally forget our sins. And for reasons known to him, he intently chooses to forget all those that have never professed the name of Christ, that have never truly had a born-again experience, a time where they've truly been born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, nevertheless, John said, verily, verily, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must, say it with me, ye must be born again. He chooses to intentionally forget those that have never trusted him by faith. An omnipotent, all-knowing, omniscient God chooses to intentionally forget. Everyone I talk to, especially here in the South, everyone knows Jesus, everyone knows God. The real issue is, does God know you? And he can know you through the person of Jesus Christ if you'll submit to him. He says, I remember thee, back in Jeremiah 2. I remember thee, he says, and then he goes on to say, the kindness of thy youth, all the innocence of children. I was just with one of my children back in my office, even just right before we came out here, and was looking at some of the different things that both kids of this church and also my own kids have drawn for me, and just some sweet things and some innocent things, some very kind things that people have written. Of course, we have in our home, like many of you do, just things that kids have done for us over the years, the kindness, the innocence, the sincerity of children. And the Lord says, I remember the kindness of your youth. And maybe that's a reference to when his children were physically younger, for sure, but it also could just mean when their relationship was sweeter and more intimate with the Lord, when they were younger in their faith. And sometimes it ought not to be this way, but sometimes we could be the most passionate for the Lord and not know very much and not maybe have very much Bible in us, but we could be the most passionate for the Lord when we first come to know Christ as our Savior. And he's saying, I remember the kindness of thy youth, and that could be children or what we might call teenagers. It just means a juvenile's. The innocence and the kindness of children. Having pastored for going on 11 years now, I've just seen a lot of different children, whether it's vacation Bible school or bus routes, those kind of things, and just the innocency and the kindness that they bring. And you ask some of the teachers, Miss Leanne's here, working with young people there, and all of our teachers, all those that are working with young people. I'm trying to think of children's church workers, and think of Sunday school workers, and think of VBS workers, and all those people that have Mrs. Presley, and all those that invested themselves in young people. They would tell you about the innocency and the kindness of youth. But somewhere along the way, it ought to be as we grow older and more mature and more complete in God, it ought to be that we become more and more kind. And yet it's not the case. Usually the kindness is more in our younger years. I think of Paul in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 28, Paul was talking about the barbarians, the Greeks, those after one of his shipwrecks. And he talks about the barbarians, that the barbarians showed us no little kindness. We need to keep that kindness and that innocence of our youth, our younger years, that when we, maybe many of us that came to know Christ at a younger age, keep that kindness and that softness. That's why Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. The disciples were trying to keep the children away, and Jesus came and drew the children close, and he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, you know, unless you will come likewise, you shall not enter therein into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord says, I remember the kindness of thy youth. Go on in verse 2. That's not all he remembers. He remembers us. He remembers the kindness of thy youth. He also remembers the love of thine espousals. That's not a word we use very much, espousals, but It has to do with that marriage relationship and kind of going back in the Bible times and in the New Testament times, in a betrothal period, or oftentimes arranged marriages in those cases. And it was said of Mary that we're coming up on Christmas. It talked about Mary and Joseph, that Mary was Joseph's espoused wife. And so they had not yet had their marriage consummated. They had not yet had that ceremony. They had not yet had that time together as a husband and wife on their wedding night. But they were espoused together in marriage, in love. And he says, I remember the love of thine espousals. You turn to Revelation 2 just for a moment. Keep your place here in Jeremiah 2, Revelation 2, just for a moment. You know what might be a good testimony night, some night on a Sunday night? It's maybe some of those couples that have been married for a while. And we've had several, praise the Lord for that. Maybe just kind of give some testimonies of some sweet and loving things that you've done one another for spouses over the years. Just to show your love one towards another. And the Lord says, I remember the love of thine espousals. And that word is chosen very deliberately. When he says, I remember the love of thine espousals, that's referring to a marriage relationship. If you think of all the different names, or at least some of the different names that are given to Christians, to believers. I mean, in the Bible, we're called the redeemed. I mean, we're called hundreds of different names. The redeemed. We're called the saints. We're called the called out assembly, the ecclesia. We're called, of course, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're called the sons of God. And on and on and on we could go. But one of the most sweetest, most intimate, most affectionate names that is given to us as believers collectively is what? The bride of what? Of Christ. The bride of Christ. And that's referring to that marriage relationship, that love that the bride has for her groomsman, for her husband, and the love that the husband has for his bride. And so he says, "I remember the love of thine espouses when our love and our time together was so sweet and so special and so intimate." And that's the way it ought to be, and often that's the way it is in younger years in our Christian walk. And sometimes, again, just like we ought to be more and more kind as we go, but it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we ought to be more and more loving as we go, and our relationship ought to be sweeter and sweeter as we go. My wife and I, in just about a month's time, will celebrate 25 years of marriage. And some of you, you know, you've been that, double that or more, and praise the Lord for that. And I can honestly say, with my kids here, my wife here, I thought I loved my wife with all that I had 25 years ago, but the love is so much more sweeter now, and because of all the different things we've been through and time together, and that's the way it should be, amen, with every marriage. But it's not, is it? And that's a different message, and I'm not, I'm just saying, but going that back to our love with the Lord, it ought to be that after we've been saved 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, someone that's been walking with the Lord or knowing the Lord, been saved for 50 years, that relationship ought to be just as sweet as it's ever been or more so. And what I'm trying to say is it's not always that way. And that wasn't the way it was here. The Lord says, I remember the kindness of thy youth. When you first came to know me by faith, I remember the love, all the great love that you had, the love of thine espousals. That's what the Lord wants. That's what the Lord deserves and is worthy of, amen? It's our love. Always remember that God is a God of love, we know, but he's also a jealous God. Not in a sinful way that we might think of, that we think of jealousy, but sinful in the sense we're his. We've been bought with a price. And we owe him our first love. Revelation 2. Revelation 2, verse 4. The first three verses, we've looked at this verse many times, so I'm not going to comment on it so much. The first three verses is the Lord, through John, commending this church at Ephesus, commending his the body of believers there, and building them up on all these things they've done right and are doing well, and he's keep on keeping on. But look at verse 4. even though they've been patient, even though they've labored and not fainted when others perhaps haven't. Verse 4, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And the Lord's saying this, if you go back to Jeremiah 2, the Lord's saying this, "I remember when I was your first love, and when you loved me like a first love." And there was a sweetness there and an intimacy there. And I remember when you couldn't get to your knees in your prayer closet fast enough. I remember when you read through the Bible every year, not just to check the list that I've done that and maybe even kind of brag about that or kind of names drop that a little bit. Remember when you went through the Bible every year or even twice a year, whatever the case may be, because you love me. Not just because you were preparing for a Sunday school lesson or a sermon or a conference or anything like that, but I remember your great love that you had for me. I remember you loved me so much back in your youth. You were so kind. You loved me so much that you didn't care what other people felt about you so much. You just wanted to get that gospel out to that person you were burdened for, because you loved me more than you loved yourself. And you loved me. And you loved that lost person more than you loved how people felt about you. That's the kind of love he's talking about. The kindness of the youth. The love of thine espousals. Verse 2 goes on to say, in Jeremiah chapter 2, he goes on to say, if you turn back there, he goes on to say, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not yet sown. We just talked about, I just mentioned 25 years ago, my wife and I were married, and I don't want to, some of you, I'm sure, have really seen, you know, hard times where didn't know where the next meal was coming from, and I'm not trying to compare what, because we didn't start off that bad. Okay, I'll say that right up front to level set things, but we did start off in a one room, not a one bedroom, but a one room efficiency in Indianapolis, and we should have researched it a bit better. We didn't. We kind of came out there real quickly for a weekend and didn't really drive around very much. And we got a house that was just surrounded by not good places, okay? Just kind of bars and just places of ill repute, you could say. And we should have kind of searched it out a little bit better. But we were there in a one-room efficiency. You know the kind where we didn't have a bedroom. We just had that Murphy bed. Anybody know what I'm talking about with the Murphy bed? You know, you just, when you get ready for the night, you just pull the bed down, and if you have company over, you put the bed back up. And there were every night, almost every night, Indianapolis, Indiana, we would hear sirens going off and all those kind of things. And some of you might have kind of like stories. But you know what? We'd just gotten married, first few months of our life together, and we were going after each other in the wilderness. We were loving each other. And the fact that where we were at didn't matter, because we had that love of our spouses, to one another. And here's what the Lord's saying. I remember the love of thine espouses when you went after me in the wilderness. They had nothing but God in the wilderness. Nothing at all. For 40 years, they followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And they followed it. They had nothing. They set their, I didn't bring a photo of it like I perhaps could have or should have, but they set up their base camp. The tabernacle in the wilderness was all set around, they set up all their camps of each tribe all around the tabernacle, all around the presence of God. Their lives were centered upon God. Everything else was secondary at best. And they went after God. God met their needs. They had food every morning. It was the same food every morning, but they had that every morning. And they didn't have but perhaps one pair of shoes or very few pairs of shoes, but that's okay, because the Bible talks about that their shoes never worn out. They had nothing, but they had everything. When thou wentest after me in the wilderness, I remember. Verse 3. We may forget, but God remembers. Verse 3 says, I remember when Israel was holiness unto the Lord. There was a time when Christians walked this earth and there was a difference. There was a, that word holy, don't, if that's foreign to you, let me just put that in the biblical context. That word holiness, that word holy means to be set apart, special, consecrated. You know, this is our holy Bible. Set apart, special, consecrated, sanctified. He says, I remember when Israel was special, set apart, consecrated, sanctified, holy unto the Lord. I remember that. And there was a time in our country and in our world where Christians walked the earth, and there was a difference about them. They were special, consecrated, holy, sanctified. And people knew it. They lived different. They talked different. They handled crisis different. They approached problems different. There was a holiness there to God's people. And the Lord says, I remember. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. I remember thee, the love of thine espousals. I remember thee when you had nothing, but you went after me in the wilderness. You followed me. I remember thee when you were holy unto the Lord. I'm not trying to live in the past. If you've been coming here any length of time, you know that we approach the past and past regrets and past mistakes and past sins. 1 John 1:9, get in the blood and move forward. Amen. But move forward. I'm saying the Lord, right here in the Bible, the Lord says, I remember the holiness. When Israel was holiness in the Lord remembers when we came to an altar. How many are thankful the Lord remembers when we come to an altar, we bowed our knee, wherever the case was, and we cried out to him to save us. How many are thankful the Lord remembers that? The Lord doesn't forget that. But can I say that the Lord also remembers and praise the Lord when we come to an altar at this church or at a camp or in our bedroom or wherever. And we say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Lord, whoever you want me to be, I'll be. Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Lord, I'm set apart for you. Take my life. It was more than just a song. Take my life. Let it be consecrated, holy unto thee. The Lord remembers those prayers of salvation just as much as he remembers those prayers of sanctification and of holiness. And God says, I remember. I remember. Praise the Lord that he remembers. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord. There's that expression again. What iniquity have your fathers found in me? And what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? They've gone far from me. The Lord's saying, when was it that I failed you that you went far from me? Go back to the point in time. Where was it that I wasn't there for you? That you just turned your back and now you're gone far from me and began to walk after vanity and to become vain. It's always been the Lord, going back to the video we just saw moments ago. Things in life don't always work out as our plans, but the Lord is above all of that. I think the fellows have a slide of a lady named Lady Jane Grey. How many have at least heard the name Lady Jane Grey? Maybe not know anything about them, about her. Lady Jane, sometimes referred to as the 9-day queen. Israel once fought a 6-day war with every country, Arab country around them, and won it in 6 days. Well, Lady Jane was a queen in 1533 in England, was a queen for 9 days. Long story short, there was two political parties, two people trying to rise to power, two political parties. Well, that doesn't sound relevant today at all, does it? But Bloody Mary. I know you've heard of Bloody Mary. You may not know all about it. Have you heard of Bloody Mary and her hatred towards Christians? Anyone that would speak out against the ungodliness of the Catholic Church, and she persecuted and killed thousands and thousands and thousands of Bible believers. but she was rising to power. And Lady Jane Grey was, I forget exactly, but was related. There was a relation there to the throne. And she was a young girl, 16 years of age. She was a young girl, but to prevent Queen Mary, what we now know is Queen Mary, Bloody Mary, from coming to the throne, they put Lady Jane Grey on there. And she really didn't have any, 16-year-old girl, she didn't have much to do with it, but she was put on there in that spot to try and kind of ward off the wickedness and the evilness, at least for a point in time. Well, that didn't last long. Queen Mary got to her too, or Bloody Mary got to her too. And you can see there on the chopping block, she, 16 years of age, she, life didn't work out the way she planned. She was just, all of this was happening and none of her doing whatsoever. She was just sort of a pawn in all of that. And she went to the chopping blocks, but before she did that, 16-year-old girl, turn back to Revelation 2. I should have had you stay there. Maybe a few of you do. Revelation 2, I want you to see this. But right before she was executed, she wrote this note to her younger sister, 16 years old. It's a short note, not a long note. Live to die and then enjoy the life that Christ has gained for you by his death. Live to die and then enjoy the life that Christ has gained for you by his death. Don't think that just because you're now young, your life will be long, because youth and old age are as God wills. And then in the Chronicles of History, she quoted at the chopping block, she quoted Psalm 51 and prayed and then was beheaded for her rise to power, I guess. And what I'm trying to encourage you with is this. Back in Jeremiah, Revelation 2, back in Jeremiah chapter 2, something had happened somewhere along the way, and the Lord says, what iniquity has been found in me that you've gone far from me? What have been my transgressions? Life didn't work out the way that they had planned, and so they went far from him. And Revelation 2 speaks of that as well in verse 8. This is the church at Smyrna, Revelation 2, 8. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them that say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and that ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And I'm just trying to say we need to be faithful to the Lord unto death. Christ was faithful to us all along the way on his road to Calvary. We need to be faithful to the Lord and stay close to the Lord. Because it says, if we're not close to him, verse 5 back in Jeremiah 2 says that they begin to walk after vanity and become vain. And how appropriate that is for our society today, pursuing after so many things that are just utter vanity. Look on to verse 6 of Jeremiah 2. It says, neither said they, where is the Lord, hath brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought, and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land, made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. The Bible talks about so many things that do not profit. And I plan to go to these, but I don't have time. But Jeremiah 7:8 talks about lying words that do not profit. Isaiah 30 verse 1 and on talks about carnal friends that do not profit. Romans 3:10 through 12 talks about the self-righteousness. Our own self-righteousness does not profit. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11, talk about living without the Lord is without profit. And of course, Proverbs 11:4, that riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness. Righteousness is what we should be pursuing. So all these things do not profit. And God's people were walking after things that do not profit. And God's people today walk after those things that do not profit, that do not help us in our lives. And we live at times lives of vanity and are become vain. But I say all that to say this, the remembrance part and the encouraging part. Look at verse 9. And let's say verse 9. I know you've already said it once with me, but let's say verse 9 together of Jeremiah 2. Verse 9. Jeremiah 2, 9 together. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. You can go to the next slide if you want, fellas. The You know, all those things. We've turned our back. God's people have turned their back on Him, forsaken Him. Used to be a sweet love there that was no more. There used to be a kindness there that was no more. God's people didn't want anything to do with God. But He says, wherefore, I will yet plead with you. He says, I'll plead with you. I want that relationship with you. The Lord still pleads with us to remember Him. The Lord still pleads with us to come to Him, to return to Him. A verse we've looked at several times, Isaiah 1. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be... Though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Now, sometimes we write people off and, well, that person's done this, this, and this, and this to me, and we're just like, done with it. And we've done this, this, and this times affinity to the Lord. And He says, nevertheless, yet will I plead with you and with your children's children to come back, to remember. He's calling us back to remembrance from a forgetful heart to come back to Him. The question is, what are we going to do with His pleading? It has to be a very cold, calloused person that can hear someone calling for them and pleading with them and calling out their name, and then just to still walk away and to still turn their back. And it's a dark, dark place that we'd have to be in to do that. And can I say spiritually, how much more so to know that the Lord is pleading with us? The word of the Lord is coming to us. The word of the Lord came to me. It's coming to us, and He's pleading with us, calling us to remembrance from a forgetful heart. And He's saying, whatever's done is done. I'm still going to plead with you. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be. Though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. God wants us to remember Him from a once forgetful heart, to have that forgetful heart no more, but to come back to Him, to remember His goodness and His kindness toward us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being so good to us. Lord, we're quick to forget. We're at times quick to forsake. I'm thankful, Lord, that it's written. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We are always Yours. Always His. We thank You, Lord, that You abide and that You remain faithful. Help us, dear Lord. We're thankful. Everyone in here was saying amen out loud or in their heart, that we're thankful that You remember a sinner's prayer to call unto You for salvation. We're thankful for that, dear God. Lord, help us to be likewise thankful and mindful that You also remember prayers that we've had for in the kindness of our youth, in the love of our espousals, when we just went after You in the wilderness and wanted You and nothing else. Wanted God's will, nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. Lord, You've never forgotten us. It may seem like it at times, and people around us may forget us. That's true. But Lord, You've never forgotten us. I remember Thee.